All right, I'll go ahead and call us to order for the regular scheduled Board of Health meeting on Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. First thing is our consent agenda. And it looks like we go down to, all the way down to public forum for the consent agenda. So if you guys want to take a look at that, then I'd need a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Is there anything further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Public forum. This is the time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health today, and I understand Heather has a few things she'd like to say. Have a seat. And if you just introduce yourself for everybody, please.
All right. Good afternoon. Greetings from the Iowa Department of Public Health. I'm Heather Bombe, Region 1 Community Health Consultant. I just have a few updates for the Board of Health today. Fortunately, iowagrants.gov is now up and running, and we are able to bill at least for local public health services contract, and getting that revenue to come in for that has been really good. So on behalf of the department, I thank the Board of Health and our local public health agencies for sticking with us as that process of, just like anything, has been somewhat painful. I know a couple weeks ago I was here and helped Paul do some do some things in there, and it should be better as we come up on FY15's local public health services contract, because Eileen and her staff should just be able to copy the existing application and populate it right into the new one. So hopefully next year will be much more smooth than what this year was. Second update that I have is on public health modernization and accreditation standards. Or Iowa Public Health Standards, the Advisory Council has met and decided that they weren't going to pursue accreditation using the Iowa Public Health Standards. They're going to go with the National Accreditation Board. And some counties, some local public health agencies will pursue that national accreditation. They still want to keep the Iowa Public Health Standards as a best practice and guide, and it's free, and it's on IDPH's website, so just kind of an update on that. And as we learn more about other counties that are pursuing that national accreditation, we'll be sure to let our local partners know, and they can share those things with you. Chapter 80, if you'll recall from orientation time, is the Iowa Administrative Code that governs the local public health services contract. We have been in the process of drafting a new Chapter 80, and it hasn't gone to powers that be yet to even send it through the rulemaking process. We're still in the draft form. But with that, the two major changes are, one, making it a little bit easier to hire home care aides and provide training for them. Many of our counties are struggling hiring those direct care worker staff to care for elderly and disabled folks that live in their home. So we're trying to lean that up a little bit to make it easier for agencies to hire and train them. And then the other major change has to do with the formulas that we use for determining how much money you're going to get. The Board of Health is the contractor. How much money you're going to get with the local public health services contract. The proposed formula that we have right now it actually shows Story County getting a bit more funding than what they have in the past. So it's a good thing for you guys. We tried to implement a formula that was going to keep people as much as possible, keep counties as much as possible with the same amount of funding that they have right now. But the statewide work group, where we had local representation, determined that they wanted to remove the piece of the formula that included founded child abuse cases. So it will take into account, there'll be a base, and then how many, your population, your number of low income, and your number of elderly. So that's basically where that formula will come from. Questions on any of those things?
I'm good.
All right. Anything else that you need questions about?
A question came up this morning in our regular board meeting for the Board of Supervisors. They were talking about funding for the asset process for next year for us, and there was a question about grants to counties, if it looks like those are going to stay the same, the amount will be increased. And Deb Shildroff, our CPC, said typically they don't know until the end of the legislative session.
Margaret may have a better idea about that, but I think it depends on how much money is not spent this year by some of the counties, and so that will determine what they get next year. I think, was it 36, 39 this year?
Yeah. And every year when I ask them if it's figuring in the budget revenue, they say use the previous year.
Previous year. Okay.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Next, agency and departmental reports. Youth and Shelter Services, Denise Denton.
Good afternoon. You have several things in front of you, which I brought along today. Some of them address various topics that we're always interested in, alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. We recently went to the prevention conference, and there was a speaker there by the name of Carol Fogalski. So I've provided you with several of her handouts. She is a consultant to the Office of National Drug Control Policy. And so gave you one that just speaks to prevention. The next thing that you see is what I consider good news, and that is sort of a profile of what tobacco use is in Story County right now. And we were just talking about this in my class this morning, that when the Surgeon General's report came out in 1963 or 4 about smoking and cigarettes and lung cancer, and can you believe it, I think the smoking rates were at 50% plus. And now in Story County, I believe we are the lowest in the state. That says 12%. I've heard as little as 9, so I'm not sure, somewhere between 9 and 12, but that is pretty low in comparison. Of course, I also pointed out to my students it only took us 50 years to do that. But that is good news, and that youth smoking is down even more than before. So I thought you would like to see this snapshot of what those rates are and how they impact health overall. And that really follows a lot of what we were talking about with the ACEs study that we discussed in October. The next one is something that we continue to be concerned about, and that is the emergence of the use of marijuana and most people's belief that it is medicine and therefore it is not harmful. So that is something that we will continue. We continue to talk about, and we will continue to try and educate our local legislators on the fact that I had a young man just this morning in another class I was talking to say, but isn't it medicine? And I said, but if you smoke it, it's still it doesn't matter if you use it for medicine or if you use it for recreational purposes. You're still high. So it's our job, of course, to get that information out to people so that they understand what the difference between medicinal marijuana in pill form versus smoking form versus mist form. And, you know, that's an ever-emerging sort of topic. So that was another article that she provided. The other one is on prescription drugs, and we have good news and bad news about that, and the use of opioids is up, which always concerns us, and I provided you with a copy of an article that came from the Iowa Department of Public Health, but also something that I had one of my students create, which is something that we're going to provide all around campus. The campus community is a group that we've had trouble with disposal of prescription drugs because they don't necessarily come to a lot of the drug drop-offs, so we want to promote the permanent drug drop-off that is now at the Ames Police Department since this last summer, and so that's been a project of the Health Promotion Club at Iowa State, and this is something that they just created really in about the last 2 weeks, and we will be distributing that throughout campus. So that, and one of the other projects that students have been involved in is looking at the e-vaping situation, and one of the things that we're bringing to you today, and we'll of course talk about it more in a minute, but I had 7 students who needed a project, and so they did a survey, and this is the results of, well, we're not sure. It's 597 or 598. There's a margin of error there. But to look at this, they came up with about 5, 6, 7 questions, which they read to every single one of these people, and or most of them anyway. And it asks, are you familiar with e-cigarettes? And so the number that you see that says yes, that is the total yes for that question. And then it is broken down by age group. So these were distributed to a number of Ames High students, Iowa State students, the community at large, and then we were able to survey a number of people who were involved in some other programs at the university. So that makes up the majority of the 50-plus age group. But you had there was some concern expressed at the last meeting about whether people were in favor of this or not and whether it would impact business or not. So when I posed that to the students, they said, well, let's just ask. So that's what we did. So they went around the community and gathered up all this information and tabulated it, and I owe them pizza now for all their good efforts. But I think it was well worth it. So I'll let you take a look at that. But we did break it down by age group because we thought that made a difference. That might make a difference, sure, or not. We weren't sure, but kept those separate. So that's the bulk of that. What questions do you have?
Any questions? Doesn't appear so. We'll,
did you want to look at these individually? I can.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Make better. Sure you keep them on file just in case.
Oh, always.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next is Mary Greeley Medical Center, Eileen Mullen. No longer Homeward.
No longer Homeward. We could change it to Story County Public Health, probably.
Let's do that for just our occasions.
Yeah.
Why not?
Since we kind of use that name and with one hat on us. Okay, I'm Irene Mullen. The first thing I wanted to let you know about is that Danfoss has donated $5,000 to Story County Public Health for us to buy a battery unit and packs for our refrigerator, so when there's an outage, that we have a generator backup. Right now what we're doing is we have an alarm on our refrigerator that goes off in a couple people's homes, and then, you know, during a bad storm, they rush out to get the vaccines and get them over to Mary Greeley before they expire, which occurs within 20 minutes. And one of our public health nurses' husband works at Danfoss, and he got tired of seeing that happen, so he approached Danfoss, and that's how we got our money.
Nice.
Cool. The coalition, which is our new coalition, which is with Boone and Story County, we were just kicking off our trying to get to know each other when Ebola stuff started coming, and so we're working together, but we kind of switched into an exercise mode on exercising, planning for the Ebola and the things around that. And I won't bore you with the details of the complexities of that, but it's we've had some ahas and learning some things with that. I guess just I don't have a lot to update you on, but I'll just kind of tell you about Ebola management in our county at this point in time. While the prevention and planning, all that is still going on, I don't think we don't see the magnitude of excitement around it that we did before. Like, I think it's kind of relaxing a little bit, but yet we're still planning. I don't think you're hearing as much about it either. We have weekly meetings with the Iowa Department of Public Health yet on what any new findings are, what activities are going on, and then periodically Iowa Department of Public Health has webinars with specific groups, whether that be EMS or, you know, first responders, hospitals, whatever. And I think you probably are aware that there's 5 hospitals will yet be identified as the hospital for use of treatment. And we're still waiting on hearing what ambulance services will be utilized in the county as well. As far as in Story County, we've made it clear to all of our partners that we're taking all of our direction from Iowa Department of Public Health, and so we adopt any kind of guidelines, protocols, and use that for Story County. And we shoot that out to the different groups to make sure that they're aware of what those might be. So we had a partner meeting about when Ebola first came out with all of our partners in the county. Then we also had an ad hoc group get together to talk about dispatching in the county. And you may or may not have heard just some of the activities around that. I'll just briefly let you know, I am very ignorant about EMS services, volunteer services, all of that. I kind of clumped them all together, which that is incorrect on my part. And so dispatches, which I didn't know, we have three different owners, if you will, of dispatching, and I may be speaking to the choir, but I didn't know that. I kind of thought that they were more united, and they also have three different national protocols that they follow. So when you give out a direction that we have a healthcare emergency, and in this case, let's say it was the Ebola, and it was recommended that the dispatchers would ask certain questions whenever they'd get a call, I thought it was as simple as saying, okay, dispatchers, this is what you need to do. Well, it isn't that simple. And so as a result of it, what we're going to do as a public health is pull together the three entities. And at this point, I'm getting ready to send a note out and talk with Paul Fitzgerald and Chuck, City of Ames, and the ISU dispatch person, the one who's over that, and ask and let them know that we'd like to have, as a Story County Public Health, a way to communicate if there is an emergency, that it goes to them, that we work together and are united in our county on how we implement whatever protocol needs to happen. Right now, we don't have an Ebola emergency in our county, so to speak, so we're okay. But let's say we did have some higher activity. We want to be able to say, okay, Story County Public Health, we say this is what you need to follow. There's been a lot of pushback and interesting things that I knew nothing about in the world of EMS. And I was talking with the state folks who indicated to me that we're not unique. This is throughout the counties and the nation, I think. So I feel that we'll come to some resolutions here in the county for the future if something does happen. We need to say in public health, for the safety of our people, you need to do this. So
do you have a protocol now that you use? Who do you call first? Who would be your first call?
Yes and no. I tell you, there's been a lot of pushback. The protocol right now is really everybody should call either Department of Public Health and be asking questions. Right, the protocol that the state recommended at the time, at this point in time, is that if the public health feels that it's time to implement this, that the dispatchers, when they get a call about a medical kind of emergency, that they would ask the questions that every physician's office is asking and the hospital is asking, which is, have you traveled recently to da-da-da or been exposed, and then go through a series of questions. There's because the EMS or the dispatch services, they get their protocols or guidelines, I'm not sure what the correct word is, from the national services, they didn't feel that they had the liberty to change any of that. So just in a nutshell, that was it. There is some liberty, just knowing who to go to and make that happen is the question. Did I answer your question? Okay. So right now we're exercising incident command forms and working with partners just to improve communication, basically. And I gave you 10 things, the top 10 things on Ebola that the state passed out. I just thought these were good because there's so much misconception out there. I think Terry didn't have any real activity to report as far as outbreaks or any infectious diseases right now, although some people here might say that we have some flu issues, but people are getting their shots, and we're doing well with that at our clinics. And as far as the budget report, we're just in the beginnings of spending our grant dollars. There is nothing really unusual or to point out. We're using our monies as we anticipate. On the last page, I've added this time probably a little bit more here. I'll clean this up in the future. This is our CBS Helps is our coalition between Boone and Story County. The PHEP is the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Funds, and the HPP is the Hospital Emergency Preparedness Funds. So as a fiscal agent, we're managing that, but I'll just point out on the Story County Public Health side, the first column to your left there, the top line original contract amount for Story County is $68,000, nearly $69,000, and we have a remaining balance at a $52,000. And you'll see over time that the hospitals will be spending their money very easily. Hospitals, you know, they can buy all kinds of equipment and things to preparedness kind of things. What we plan on doing, and this would be Boone County Public Health as well, is that's where we reach out to our partners when we have our partner meetings and say, what do you need to be prepared for some of these kind of emergencies? And we've already done that at one meeting, and we're kind of flushing through to see what we as a county needs, not one just agency. So you'll see us spending that, but it'll be a little harder. That's all I have, unless somebody has a question. Yes, John.
With that, in the last month or two with the Ebola thing in other states, there's been some questions raised with regard to legality of quarantines. Where do we stand in Iowa? Can we enforce a quarantine?
Yes, and we have an ordinance here in the county that allows that to happen. And I'm able to do that if I need to in the last spur of the moment and then bring it to
you. Our county ordinance mirrors the state.
Yes.
We finally got that done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Thought about that.
Yeah.
How could I?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And next is Margaret James, Story County Environmental Health. This is all new for me because you didn't come to the Board of Supervisors
today.
That's
right. I only come quarterly now.
So when will you come now?
I don't know. Sometime. February. February, probably.
Come December 23rd.
Why?
Because there's no meeting that day.
Oh, funny, Paul.
You're trying to trick her.
I'm easily tricked.
Paul.
Okay. Let's see where to go. You can tell that I'm not doing as much field work now because I have time to play with the background of my slides. It's really fun, all that stuff. Really fun. There we go. Okay. So, good afternoon. Start off with the numbers, septic numbers. I've got the 90 in red over there. It's a lot higher than the previous years. Unfortunately, we won't break 100. The point of this slide, I guess, is to just show that we've had a very busy year, and that it's also very hard to predict how many permits you can anticipate for the following year for budgeting purposes. For well numbers, the wells are down, actually, the new wells. No clue, just fewer geothermals going in. Well plugging is about on track. We've had a few more well rehabs, six this year compared to zero the last two, so that's really good. A lot of people don't want to put the money into wells. Oh, I know what that's higher now. We have been starting to allow secondary wells to take advantage of that rehab money. That's the difference. So that's why that's up a little bit this year. I just realized that.
So what do you consider a secondary? Wow.
If they are like on Xenia or Central Iowa water, but they also have a well, we will allow that to be rehabbed.
Okay. Sure.
With the grants, the county's money.
How do you know which ones are the geo wells?
Well, they're permitted differently, and then we just keep track of.
But up there,
I'm sorry, Fiver water out of the 31 Fiver water.
So all the rest of those.
The 26 are geos. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Kathy's been tracking the grants to counties, and we've spent about $10,000 and $26,000 still available. So we need to take it up a notch on that if we want to spend it by the end of the year. So for enforcement, we have 5 outstanding time of transfer binding agreements, 0 overdue. Some of them we gave them sort of extended due dates because they want to demolish them, but they're just sitting there for now. If it turns into a problem with people complaining, then we will force the issue on those. Let's see. So notice of violations. We still have 6 outstanding septics. I really don't think we should take legal action until it gets a little closer to when they can start working the fields again, because they forget, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. So I think probably March we'll start sending out letters, and then maybe get legal counsel on that if we're not getting people to cooperate. One well.
How far are those overdue now, the ones?
Oh, some of them are Don's, old ones. I ran into Don the other day.
That old?
Yes, that old, sir. Yes, yes.
We haven't taken action yet.
No. Uh-uh.
That's getting pretty old.
They're pretty old. But I will say, too, that there's a lot of other projects to do, you know, and legal action takes a lot of time out of your time budget. So Crestview is looking great. They have cleaned up considerably. They really have. And then they've also gotten the trailers out of the roadways, so emergency vehicles can get through. So they're doing way better. They still have a whole bunch of old ones empty that are stockpiled, but they're all kind of neatly lined up on the west edge of the park. So and they're not past the due date on that, because I gave them quite a bit of time, because that's a huge project to move those out of there. But he was very proud, and he should be. He really did quite a bit of work out there. Let's just hope it stays that way.
How's the system doing?
I don't know. He stored all those logs on the mound. I mean, and I'm talking logs, tree limbs. And so I don't know if he ruined the pressurized lines on those. So I don't know.
Testing that. Who's?
DNR. Because of the size, that's DNR's.
They are testing.
Problem. Mm-hmm. We help them keep an eye on it. Recently we had a DNR meeting, and we agreed that they would let us know when they're going to do an inspection out there or any trailer park, and invite us along so that we're all kind of on the same page on those, and we can kind of help keep an eye on things.
How about the one north of town, the one on Dayton?
That one, I submitted that letter, and it still hasn't published the NPDES permit yet. So I don't know if they'll include any of my requests in that or not. Remains to be seen.
You don't know if they've cleaned that up, or they haven't repaired it, or are they going to use chlorine? Are they still using
chlorine?
That?
Yeah, the ultraviolet did not work. It didn't take those bacteria numbers down. So they are switching over to a chlorinated system. But my concern was that they weren't going to be testing the chlorine levels. So
they switched over now or not to the chlorine?
Not yet. Mm-mm. It's still in the planning phase.
How long do they have to fix that?
I don't know. That's a DNR thing again. Yeah. I don't know. Good questions, but I don't know the answers. 24 complaints in 2014 and only 2 since the last board meeting. One was bed bugs, and, that was for the homeless shelter in Ames. And what I would love to see is somehow we could come up with some money to buy a large capacity dryer for them, because that's an excellent way to kill bed bugs. When they come in the middle of the night, they have to wake people up or do it in batches. They don't have their big dryer to do that. So if Sour Danfoss has any more money, the only other problem is that
you know, it's an old house, and I don't know if they would have the wiring that would be required for one of those large capacity dryers. You know, it's probably the so that's that. And then, you know, you have to think of the big picture, too. The men, not the women, but the men are required to leave during the day. And where are they going? They're going to restaurants, libraries, stores, and hanging out. So it could be a huge problem of, you know, containing this bed bug situation. Vic Moss does an excellent job, but, you know, he said, you know, it's a, you contain it, you don't ever get rid of them, it seems. And then another complaint just came in. It was a written one from DNR. They received an anonymous complaint about open discharge from a house going to a horse pasture. Lead inspection program. Still have 8 open cases. One, I did the closeout sampling, dust sampling, and I'm still waiting for the lab results. Still glitches in the software. In the grant, in the Iowa grants, and then also the HHLPFS or whatever that is. And then come February, I have to recertify. So we'll have to visit again if we want to continue doing this. It's fairly expensive and very time consuming to do that recertification. Maybe we could get together sometime and I'll talk about it. Trainings and meetings, quite a few went on the last couple months. Let's see. So I go to the local emergency planning committee, and that might be something that the public nursing might want to join in on. I attended the Iowa Climate Science Forum, and what's really interesting is it seems like mosquitoes are going to do us in as far as, because with the global warming, that mosquito zone will be higher, and then malaria and all these other things are going to come back, and then the pesticides to treat all these things, you know, the mosquitoes, you know, so it's a vicious cycle. So it's something very interesting. They made a lot of interesting points at that meeting.
I had one in my car the other day.
A mosquito?
Yes.
Man alive.
And a wasp.
Wow.
Yeah, they weren't moving very fast, but they were moving. Yeah, I hate one worse than the other. So.
Golly. Let's see. We all attended the county safety training, mandatory. We did interagency review this time. We did the open meetings open meeting meeting. We went to that. That was very interesting. Kathy and Matt and I attended the DNR regional field office meeting. And then I also attended a DuPont CAP meeting. Let's see, what else? And Kathy also went to the IEHA fall conference for one day. And she volunteered to do some of the Iowa grants. It was the Iowa grants one, right? To see how that software is working. And she was a guinea pig for that. Training, and then Matt and Kristen attended the MAPS meeting, keep on top of the computer stuff and the mapping that's going on, and regional meetings, and then Kristen also attended the open meetings meeting. It's hard to say. Hickory Grove Lake Watershed Project. Because of the rains this year and because one contractor is doing most of the septic installations over at that project, we've only gotten 3 septic systems replaced, and then I sent out the checks for 2 of them. And let's see. But most of them, I've done the soils work on the 6 other, and they're ready to go. There's only one. There's 2 that want to put it off a little bit for one reason or another. Let's see, Conservation Mike Cox is still doing negotiations with a property owner, and we met the other about a week ago and formulated the annual report that we owe WERB folks. Engineer's been hired to do the mapping and dirt work on that pond area there, and then the fencing and stuff too. As far as miscellany, Cameron Estates, there's about three houses going in up there now. It's a, to remind you, it's a subdivision just off of Cameron School Road. And they did plant rye over the whole place, but hardly any of it came up because we had that cold snap, and then they got it in super late again because of rains. And I'm afraid that this spring there's going to be some huge problems, so they're probably going to have to mulch it in order to contain the soil where it needs to be. And then the other situation that we've been running into is the engineer did the designs on the septic for those lots up there. But almost all of the designs are for three-bedroom, and all the houses are coming in at five-bedroom. So that really makes it tough. So some of the folks, I've been talking them into four bedrooms as a compromise. Because, who needs these whopper houses? I don't know. But pipeline and the proposed subdivision, we're getting a lot of people asking about that pipeline. So I keep telling about that meeting that's coming up this month over Gateways. And so we did have a gal come to the interagency review that is interested in putting in a small subdivision. And after she did a lot of legwork on it, she learned that the pipeline is going to go right through that area that they're going to develop. So she's very interested in that, too. But county has, like, zilch say in it. Right, Paul? I mean, we just...
Yeah, I mean, they
have to sit there and take it.
Yeah, they're going to have these meetings. They're required to have the meetings, public input meetings, and then it's all up to the utilities board whether or not to grant the permit.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's
the engineer has a minor role in.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have to
inspection.
You have to inspect for drainage tiles. Make sure the drainage tiles have been put back in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the meeting here in Story County is the 15th at
Gateway?
Gates Hall.
Oh, Gates Hall.
Here in Nevada.
Gateway, yeah. That's
but there's another meeting this Saturday at Ames City Hall that a private group of concerned citizens has put together. And I think that's at 1 in the afternoon at the council chambers.
Okay.
I know our friends from the ICCI group are involved in that.
Okay. Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, but we probably once or twice a week get an email from somebody that has questions or concerns about it.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
And they did have, Leanne sent me a link to I think it was a story on a public radio station about a meeting they had in Fort Madison where they had 350 people at that meeting, and they didn't have room for everybody. So, there's concern about it, so I know that.
And then just as an aside, Bacon's Lake Farmhouse, I was wondering how we were going to ever talk the folks into putting a new septic system in to protect that new lake, and they submitted an application just boom like that. So that's a cool thing. So that'll happen in the spring, and the estate will cover that cost. That's it, except for budget, and set up next.
No, not yet. You're down the ways, down on Jen in the ways. Any questions for Margaret? Doesn't look like it. Okay. We don't have any public hearing items, under additional items. Discussion and consideration of a ban on the use of vaping devices in public spaces. And that would be our representatives from Youth and Shelter Services. And we've got a draft ordinance from the county attorney's office, correct?
This is from our county attorney?
Yeah, I think it's just a draft ordinance that they put together. It's probably pretty standard. I got here it is on the bottom there.
All right. Hello, my name is Eli Bratch-Prince.
And I'm Nathan Davis.
And we are both representatives of the board of the members of the Story County Prevention Policy Board. Last year, the policy board came before you to ask for your support and partnership in presenting a proposed ordinance that would prohibit the sale of e-cigarettes and other vaping devices to minors in Story County. This proposed ordinance was used as a framework for a similar legislation and became state law this last July. The Prevention Policy Board is again asking for your support in taking the next step with a proposed ordinance that would ban the use of e-cigarettes and vaping devices in public spaces. The FDA has yet to regulate these products and is still unclear as to the harmful effects that may be experienced by both using and being in close proximity of these items.
So this is also an issue of international concern as well. The United Nations World Health Organization has also published literature in regards to e-cigarettes and vaping, making several claims, most of which is that there's just a serious lack of research in the area. But there is enough evidence to caution children and pregnant women to stay away from them due to the potential fetal and adolescent exposure to have long-term consequences for brain development. So there is a growing amount of evidence, but it's still pretty young. But there are several cities across the United States and Wales, of all countries, that is passing ordinances on banning e-cigarettes and vaping ordinances in public spaces. So far, the three major metropolises, whichever you prefer, New York, L.A., Chicago, and then there are three states that join them, New Jersey, Utah, and North Dakota as well, have instituted a total ban. And we wish for the same thing to happen in Story County. Many others have enacted at least partial bans, with much discussion involved in how to use these devices and are being used to promote other emerging drugs of abuse. So one thing that we've been talking about in the Story County Policy Prevention Board is that you can make your own cartridges in e-cigarettes, and what they'll do is they'll fill it with cannabis oil being manufactured in places like Washington and Colorado that is 90% pure, and then they're adding them to the cartridges, and people are getting serious highs off of electronic cigarettes that are, you know, very, very infrequently regulated across the United States. So it should be on our radar. So, and like I had mentioned earlier, the country of Wales is currently in debate over a total indoor ban for its citizens. So we've provided you with some examples. We're concerned for all the same reasons as those mentioned in those localities. And we ask for your support in going forth with this ordinance to the Story County Board of Supervisors. And just one other fact that we were talking about in our board meeting last night as well is that more of an environmental concern. The cartridges themselves, the companies, they state on it that they're not leak-proof either. And so you've got this very highly concentrated chemical slurry of whatever they put in it. It's not regulated by the FDA, being that could potentially get onto tables in bars and restaurants and could potentially be taken up by children and other people and could cause an environmental concern as well. So, again, we ask for your support in going forth with this ordinance to the Story County Board of Supervisors.
Thank you. I'll start off the discussion. I've had a conversation or two with our assistant county attorney, Jessica Reynolds, who does all the civil work for the board. She was unable to be here today, but the county attorney's office has expressed some concern about the proposed ordinance. They did supply the Prevention Policy Board with the draft ordinance, but they have some concerns about the possibility of the passage of an ordinance.
What's their concern?
Well, their concern is like the gentleman stated here, there's a serious lack of study and of evidence, and the evidence is not necessarily there at this point to support a decision whether or not they're harmful or not, one way or the other. They're also concerned about the city of Ames. Obviously, if the county were to pass an ordinance, it's going to affect the city of Ames more than it's going to affect any place else in the county. And my conversations in the past with council members and city officials that they are not interested at this time in passing an ordinance citywide. And they've gone so far as to urge the county not to pass a countywide ordinance. You know, it's
but if they're putting illegal stuff in them, like marijuana, then
right. And if they're putting illegal stuff in them, then you know, then are we going to go so far as to ban the whole thing, ban the use of them entirely?
Well, yeah, I think that's
okay. And then I have problems with that also. I mean, if a store owner or a restaurant owner doesn't want somebody in his establishment or her establishment to use these devices, they can simply ban the use of the devices on their premises if they choose to do so.
With just a sign?
Sure. I mean, if it's a private business, and I would assume a municipality or a city or a county could do the same thing in a county park. I mean, you could regulate what you can do and can't do in a county or city park. If it's a tobacco-free zone, you could also make it a e-cigarette-free zone. But I have problems with the county stepping in and forcing the city of Ames to enforce an ordinance that they're not necessarily ready to, at this point, adopt themselves. If the city was ready to adopt this ordinance, they would do it, or they would be in the process of doing it.
Are they looking at it at all, the city of Ames?
They are. Okay. So
the same, have they had a copy of this or a different one?
Right. No, yeah, come over here. Pull a chair up so we can get you on the mic. So it's, you know, it would be the same as what we did with the cigarette ordinance. Well, even the e-cigarette ordinance, the ban of it by minors, use and sale to minors. I mean, you know, the Prevention Policy Board came to us over a year ago, and it would be the same process. You know, the Board of Health would, if they chose to do so, would send a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to go forward with the process of passing an ordinance. And that's, you know, that's where it would be, that the Board of Health can't necessarily pass a county ordinance. It's got to be passed by the Board of Supervisors. So but I'm not going to take.
And can we recommend as a Board of Health?
Ames
wants to come up with one, that we recommend that they come up with their version rather than
we can recommend anything we want, but I have a problem making a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors on an ordinance that, like I said, it's going to impact the city of Ames more than it's going to impact any place else in the county. And if the city is looking at passing their own ordinance, I don't know why we would want to pass one.
Then what do? We, as a county, we're just adopt their version then
version? We could if we decided we wanted to do that. And I'm not aware. I mean, I don't get calls or complaints from people that go into establishments and are offended by the use of e-cigarettes. I mean, if it's a problem, I can see taking action on it. But I don't necessarily think that it's our position to step in first and try to prevent that problem from happening if it's not a problem already when it comes to something like this.
Unless they're putting medicinal stuff in them.
Right. So that's my position on it. So
My understanding that members of the city council have sent to the staff because they are interested in this now.
Okay. So
what was that again?
It's my understanding that and I can't think what his name was, who was opposed to it, has sent it to the city staff, a member of city council, has sent it to the city staff because they are interested in looking at this now and creating something like this. I don't believe they have a copy of this ordinance at the time that they did this, and they don't have a copy of the survey. We decided we wanted to bring that to you first before we gave that to anybody else. So that's what I know about where they stand with this.
What? It's up to this board whether or not we want to pass a recommendation on to the Board of Supervisors that they pass this ordinance.
Well, if Ames is doing something, it doesn't sound like you guys would pass this anyway. If Ames is looking at it,
I'm only one of the three, so
right.
So I can't say it. I don't want this to sound like I'm discounting anybody's concerns on any of this, but there's a serious lack of study and a lack of evidence There is even some suggestion out there that they are useful as a cessation device for the if somebody wants to, you know, get off of actual tobacco products. So,
and those claims haven't been approved by the FDA.
Correct. None of this has been none of this is regulated by the FDA.
Right. Right.
So, I guess that's where I'm at on
it. I look at the survey. The survey kind of indicates that people, based on these questions, that they're most of them are not in favor of
right
these devices. And it's amazing that 18 to 24 is one of the highest age group on that first question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the activity at the state level?
I haven't heard of any activity. Have you any activity at the state level in the legislature this year, if there's any? Yeah. So it's up to you, fellas, which direction we go. Simply making the recommendation to the Board of Supervisors doesn't mean that you know they'll pass the ordinance, but it will start the discussion. So if the Board of Health wants to make that recommendation, we can certainly do that. But that's going to take a motion and a second to get that done.
I think we need to get something back from City Ames. I don't think we're not going to go anywhere from a county level unless we get something
back from the city. Okay.
I'd recommend that we encourage the city to go forward and keep moving forward on an ordinance of some kind anyway.
All right. I can have those conversations with the city as the chair of the Board of Health. So if that's where we want to leave it today, I think that's where we're at. I appreciate your time and all your effort on this, and I'm sure that we haven't heard the last of it. So nothing happens overnight. So I'm sure they'll be moving on this, and you know, if the city of Ames passes something. I think part of the reason that the state got off the dime last year was because of the discussions that we had here in Story County. And, it was Senator Kornbach that brought the legislation forward initially. So, okay, I appreciate your gentleman's time today. And now where did I put my agenda? Here it is.
So that's not an official motion, correct, Paul?
Correct. We didn't take any action on it, just other than the recommendation to encourage the city to move forward. Next, a discussion consideration of the 2015 Environmental Health Department budget. And that would be Margaret again.
Let's see. I made a few changes from the version that was emailed to you earlier. So this one that you have on your desktop is the current one.
Thank you. Okay.
Is the current one. I already found another mistake, but it was just a date from a previous version was left on, so I'll have to wipe that off. Do you want to start with revenue or expenditures first?
Let's do revenue first.
Revenue. Okay. All right, fairly straightforward. The items in red are re-estimates for this current fiscal year. One of them is the grants to counties, increase that to the actual amount that we received. And then also show a receipt and include a new line to show $10,000 received from Story County Water Soil and Water Conservation District, and that is for the Hickory Grove Watershed Improvement.
Right.
Okay. Everything else is just kind of a guess on how many septic permits, well permits, and other health fees. The pool, tattoo tanning are a pretty static number. They are adding one pool this year that I'm aware of. So it's pretty straightforward. Any questions on that page?
Did we have discussion, or did you ask about increasing, can we increase the fees for these inspections, or is that set by the state?
But for the pool tattoo tanning, we may not change those.
Okay.
But septic and well, we can.
Okay. Are you breaking even on the inspections for?
Oh, we're bringing in money. We're fine. Well,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, aside from test kits and chemicals, things like that,
okay,
we've worked it right into our existing budget. So, okay. Yeah, maybe a little bit of more staff time.
And then theoretically next year will go better, right? Okay.
Oh, totally. Definitely.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Now, you did get that new map, part of that mapping system, right? That
no.
We haven't done.
That'll be on it.
That'll be on this one. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on to expenses. Should we start at the top? Okay.
Sure.
All right. So when I submit a budget to the Board of Supervisors for their review, we are asked to leave all of the salary and the FICA, extra help, all those things, leave those blank. So, but I filled them in for your benefit just so you can kind of see where we're at for the total budget. Those increased salaries include the 2.25% pay increase recommended by the Board of Supervisors. There, again, to my knowledge, there are no merit increases. Is that right? It's all an across-the-board 2.25. But you as the board can recommend merit increases. And, for example, if you were to give us a 3% increase as opposed to a 2.25%, that would represent about $1,300 all told for this year. Of course, that would be every year from there on out. Just an idea. Let's see. Other things under office supplies. Mark, you asked about that software. I would like to get that this fiscal year, so I put that in the re-estimated expense. Our line used to be $2,000, so I bumped that up to $5,000 to cover that $3,000 cost of the software. And to remind everybody, that was software that takes our field points and draws them for us. So the septic systems, they will be it aids us in drawing up the septic systems after they've been installed. That, it does kind of fit into our budget. It's about a wash with other things that we're taking out, but you also have to keep in mind that we are taking in a lot more money because of the other programs, as you can see from the average revenue on the previous page, the revenue page. So for the three-year average, we've taken in $48,000. Is that right? Wow. And estimated in 15 is 94. So we're, almost double of money coming in. So it seems like it would justify covering a cost of software that would help our staff get things done more efficiently.
So across the top on this, should it actually be FY 12, 13, and 14 as opposed to 11, 12, and 13?
Yeah. Where do you see that, Paul?
On the budget request across the top. Yeah, on the expenditure
actual,
page.
On the actual.
Actual, 3 year.
Very 11, 12, very 13. Top.
Oh, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
No?
12, 13, 14.
It'd be 12, 13, 14, right?
12, 13. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's
yep,
right.
You're right. That's another good catch. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so moving on, what else is different here? Communication services, I think, went up quite a bit just because that's out of our hands. We changed out those phones.
How about if we go back up to postage?
Okay.
The increase in postage, or proposed increase. You're at $603 for your three-year average.
Uh-huh.
And you've got a request in for $900.
Yes. I see that at the end of October, we're right at 30%. Part of that average three-year average is low because we switched from a local lab for our water samples.
Yep.
And we didn't have to mail them. We just dropped them off, and now we have to mail everything. So that really boosts up that mailing cost. Let's see.
And just so the rest of the board knows, under communication services, we went to a new phone system. Voice, whatever it is, via voice over IP. So, yeah, cost more money than the old one did. Monthly fees are higher than the old system.
So one other little expense that has come up is that every, I don't know, is it 5 years or 3 years, IT changes on our computers. And because of that, our monitors, all four of us have double monitors because you're working on a map on one side and a table on another. It's very, very helpful. But we have to replace one of the screens on each of those desks because the new computer will not take both old screens. It'll take one old one and one new one. And then when we buy a new one, it's this long, skinny hot dog one next to a square one. So so that's been affecting our office supply budget because we're having to replace our screens that was not planned on from the last year's budget. Let's see now. Where am I at? Okay, communication services, what else? So the next thing in red is, I'm not even following. Good luck with that.
I got it in front of me. I'm good.
Sorry.
Blow that up a little.
Let's talk the groundwater protection fund. That too was changed to reflect the $36,000. The 25% is just worked in the rest of the budget. $27,000 is that 75% that actually goes only toward the programs of plugging and testing. And then if you drop down to the lab services, Lisa added, the accounting added another line. So the lab services and the Hickory Grove Watershed Park thing, that line item was split. So last year it was presented as one line, so then I had to split it for two. So that one is reduced. And then that following on that back page, that was increased to move that money over into the watershed program. Okay. Now, having said that, I think that we will get, it's hard to say when people are going to go ahead and put their septic systems in. So I am planning on, 7 going in this fiscal year. So the rest of them will go in the spring. Four will go in the spring. And then maybe 2 in the summer, which will be fiscal year 16. Okay. So some of that money has to be moved over to next year, number one. Number two, we have to increase those lines so that we are able to draw that $10,000 into our expense lines, which we weren't planning on before. So therefore, our percentage of what we're paying on those septic systems have increased by that $10,000, but we just have to bump up this so that we can shoot it down that line again.
I thought we'd get, giving them that money to do those septic systems.
Yes.
I thought we gave them a time frame that they had to have that done since we were giving them the money that they needed to get that done right away.
Well, we do, but the WERB grant is 3 years. Okay. So.
But we're in our second year already.
Well, this is our first year right now.
We didn't get the money until the 1st of June.
Right.
1st
so
of July.
This, yeah. So this is our first year that we've had that money. And you're a contractor. You realize that with this weather, it's just really been crazy to get them in. There's nothing we can do about that. Hopefully, we will get them all in before the end of the year. But, with budgets, you just have to plan on a couple of different things.
I think I talked to a couple of guys that were kind of leery about, you get into October, they're a little leery about putting in a new system.
because of the freezing problem.
The problems that people had last year with new systems freezing up, they didn't want a repeat of what they had last year. So, and they didn't get started until July.
Right.
After the 1st of July this year. So hopefully Nick can hit it great guns
hit hard.
When the weather turns in the spring. So.
Yeah.
I think we'll get them all done.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
And if it looks to the point we're not going to, we may have to visit with them. And you know, if Nick can't get the work done simply because he's too busy, they may have to
somebody
look,
else.
They may have to look at a different contractor. But
that's right. Yeah,
that's right. And then one other thing I wanted to add to this is that for that plan, it was 9 houses. Well, there were definitely 8 houses within the drainage district. One was kind of on the cusp whether he went east or west with his drain, okay? So that would make 9. So there's actually 10 if you include Men's. They are not in the drainage district. They are in the watershed. But
right.
They are still affecting the lake water quality. So I want to include them, and that would mean adding as much as $5,000 for next year to cover Men's. I don't know if they would, if they're still ever going to be on board with that or not. But I would like to include them if they show interest.
Okay. I think it's a good idea. I agree with you. I don't know. I have my doubts whether or not that they're going to be interested in doing it. But
right. But I would like to have money in the budget if they show that interest.
Right.
Okay. So let's see. And then, so if you compare this year to last year, of course it's hard to do because I've kind of adjusted this current year, but they're about a wash. They're about the same. This year is actually $10,000 more, but part of that is because of the $10,000 from the Water Conservation District. That's just flow through money. So really, it's about the same.
Can we go back and talk about fuels and maintenance?
Yes, we can.
See, that's what, $200 or $425 increase from last year.
Okay.
Any particular reason for that? And I know typically when we have our budget session, we talk about fuel price, and we didn't talk about that this year. I mean, for the last couple of years, we've told everybody to project their fuel cost at $3.50 a gallon. I don't know if that's reasonable still at this point, or if we need to have that discussion countywide with departments. I mean, I paid $2.52 today.
I must have had some
at Sam's Club.
How much? $2.52.
What breaks in that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and we know it's not a new vehicle.
Yeah.
And it's an 07, right?
07 with 90,000 on it.
And I'll tell you, because I know we've had the discussion about something new.
Mm-hmm.
We're all land on this. I would like to see us be able to get 10-year service out of it.
Okay, 10 years, okay.
Now, granted, if you'd have kept the station wagon, you'd be talking probably about a new vehicle this year. But I think the ones you've gotten have served your purpose better than the one you had.
I agree.
You know, I'm sure that IT would gladly give you that station wagon back in a heartbeat.
Oh, no.
They don't want that back.
Well,
we're buying screens. We're not taking back the station wagon.
But, I mean, that's what we ask facilities to do. Facilities, Cal has his trucks on a 10-year rotation.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay. Well,
you're not putting a ton of miles
sort of
on them.
Hint to us that we won't get someone else's hand me down at the 90 to 100,000 mark. And
I don't know whose it's going to be.
Okay.
I think we're,
we're up next for the new one. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you guys have to decide what would best serve your purposes, another SUV or a pickup.
Right. I'll be retired by then. 3 years. No. So I guess the biggies to talk about are can we get the funding for that software, number one. And number two, are you interested in giving us a little bit of a boost for merit?
Well, I think we talked about that software.
We did the last time,
I thought we said to go ahead with that.
Yes, I thought we voted.
I thought we voted to get that.
Well, if it was within our budget, and it's not, I had to re-estimate this year, bump it up, $3,000.
But you didn't find anything. There was nothing left over from the last budget to pick
not allowed
up.
To do that. When it's gone, when we're done with the year, it goes back to the general fund, and everybody starts.
And you won't be able to find the money this year for it.
Maybe, but, you know, we're only halfway through, so I don't want to say that I can, you know.
It's $2,000, right?
$3,000.
Okay.
You know, and if we don't like it, we can return it. But I know that stack on my desk, Kathy's desk, and Matt's desk, you know what that is? Drafting.
Right.
It's such a pain in the neck.
Okay.
Where does that show up here, that 3,000?
It's okay, so the re-estimated is the 5,000, but
right.
That includes, so 3,000.
Oh, that includes
the software,
that, okay.
And 2,000 was for the rest of the year's, or for the whole year's.
Oh, I see. The original line was 2,000, and that's why you bumped it to 5.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. I'm with you. There's the.
Okay. Let's let me have a conversation with Lisa about it. I think I may have talked to her once about it, but I mean, if it's going to give you a better product in the end, correct?
That's the plan.
It's going to take,
and it builds on equipment that we already have.
We have,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they really need to have it so they can go in
right.
this next summer
yeah.
and have it ready to go.
That's right.
So you can work on that this winter and get
okay.
it all set up, and so you're ready.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we kind of talked about last time was
okay.
See if we could find the money.
All right. Well, yeah, we're just under halfway through, so I'll have another conversation with Lisa about it. I'm not opposed to you guys being able to do it.
Okay.
You know, and if the money's not there at the end of the fiscal year, then, you know.
And then remind Lisa that we are bringing in a lot more money. I mean, it, that's a fact. That's just
right.
a fact.
And fuel prices have gone down, too.
Fuel savings.
Exactly.
Well, it's about double. So, it's...
yeah,
revenue,
your
our revenue is...
Re-estimated revenue is $94,000.
Yeah.
For this fiscal year. For last fiscal year, it was $55,000.
What about the fuel savings alone? Won't we save enough to buy it with the fuel savings from the rest of the year? The fuel savings from here on out to the... That we'd save... We'd save at least $1,000, wouldn't we?
If you figured, you know... It's not quite going to be a dollar a gallon yet.
Oh,
I mean, 75 cents.
Getting close.
Yeah. But they're not putting that many miles on it. They're driving 8,000 miles a year.
Yeah, that's true. That's not a lot.
Well, the whole budget is
$2,400.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that can save
that
much.
All right,
yeah. I can look at and maybe read.
And like
that.
I said, we never had that discussion at all during our budget. Meeting and about the fuel costs.
Correct.
And usually we do. Usually we tell them what to budget, plan for. So. Okay.
And there's nowhere other. There's no place elsewhere in the county that they can come up with that money for.
Well, I mean, it all comes out of the same pot. So,
right.
Yeah, we're not gonna.
So
we're not gonna stiff a creditor so Margaret can get new software.
No. I thought maybe some other department. So the supervisors have
yeah.
extra money.
Yeah.
Well,
I have to ask about the new chairs, though. Did you guys get new chairs?
Not yet.
You budgeted for it last year, though.
Well, it's in this year's budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I just got a new one.
Yeah?
And the other two guys sat in it, so we've all three got new chairs now.
Okay.
And that we ordered ours through Office Max.
Okay. What'd you get?
We have a contract with Office Max. It was a $500 chair. Ended up cost us about $280.
Wow, great. Well, see, there we could get money from.
So did you have that? Was that in your budget?
Yeah, that was my deal. If I got reelected, I was getting a new chair.
So,
okay.
No, nobody. That's why I got a new one because
yeah,
it would have gone to somebody else. It was going to be
down.
It was a potential liability.
The chairs, the desk,
yeah,
everything came down.
I can be kind of rough on office furniture, so. So you want new chairs for your clients?
Well, okay. This is what Charlie and I talked about.
Okay.
Is We're thinking, you know how people pop in and we've got people all crowded in that one little area to talk to people at that desk,
right?
Okay, and so we were thinking of rearranging that so that we could have a receiving area
like
so they could actually
area.
Sit yeah,
okay.
and wait.
Okay.
So that's what that is about, the chairs.
Okay.
And I just threw that in. I just thought, oh, you know, we're budgeting. Let's go for it.
Okay. All right. I just said I had to ask because, you know, somebody else will ask.
Mm-hmm. I know who. Yep.
So. Okay.
So that's all I have to
Fuck
say.
Your airline. They can squeeze it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any other questions or comments on the proposed budget for next year? I think we'll need a motion to approve the proposed budget and then send it to the Board of Supervisors.
I move that we accept this fiscal year budget that Margaret has proposed.
Without the merit? You don't want to do a merit?
Oh, that's right. We have to have the merit discussion. So.
Oh, that's right.
Well, you know where I'm going to come down on it. So.
No, how, Paul?
I think... And we've talked about this since I've been on the Board of Supervisors about implementing this system,
mm-hmm.
and we're still trying to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem is that we can't get consistent evaluations from all the departments. And if we don't have consistent evaluations from all the departments, then we can't implement a merit system. If you don't have consistent evaluations from all the departments. So,
now, Paul, I've been with the county for 21 years without a real merit, without just fighting tooth and nail for some raise, something like that.
Sure.
It's crazy that they can't get it together in 21 years, and it's probably been long before that.
Well,
and
I just can't, Margaret,
that
I can't do anything.
Is not a good answer
I
anymore.
Can't do anything about what happened before I was here. So,
I agree with that.
And I believe everybody here did get an increase outside of the 2% last year.
Yes, but we all have to just really work like crazy on that. I mean, read job descriptions and, you know, this and that. Every year we should be considered for merit. I just really think that that's true. And, you know, for staff retention, it's very important. It's very expensive to replace people, especially environmental health people, because of all the training that it requires to do this job. You know, it's something that keeps you coming in and keeps you happy every day if you get just a little bone thrown at you. You know, it is, Paul. It's just
well,
the fact of life.
And
it's
Margaret,
not that much
I don't
money.
Disagree with you, but you were all three thrown bones last year. And I don't know if it's reasonable to expect that you get a bone thrown at you every year.
Mm-hmm.
The Board of Supervisors is committed to a 2.25% increase this year as opposed to a 2% last year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
That's where I'm going to come down on. This right. I mean, the merit system is something that Alyssa and I talk about on a regular basis, and hopefully if some changes are made here after the first of the year, we'll be able to work on that a little bit harder. But
so how can you get everyone to get their paperwork turned in that needs to be turned in? I mean, you know.
Well, it's difficult to do with elected officials. And
well, maybe we should have it divided into elected versus non-elected.
Well, that may be a discussion that we'll have to have. So.
All that the stuff that we gave them last year, that was kind of a catch-up.
That was exactly,
actually.
Yeah. It wasn't a merit. That was a job change.
Yeah, part of that last year we was kind of a catch-up. So, because we were behind, really, almost 2 years.
Well, I guess I don't look at it as a catch-up. The employees in environmental health received raises along with all the other county employees. And there was a change in the job description.
Right.
And that's why the...
So it was based on the difference because the raises that they got were based off of the lower pay.
So we moved them up a grade, right?
Right.
So that's the 1.25, 2.25 that whatever we got previous years were based on the lower pay.
What's that work up to be if you move from 2.25 to 3%?
It was like 1,000, got it written somewhere, 1,300, something like that.
1,300 for all three of you?
Yeah, if I did my math right.
For the whole year?
For the whole year. Well, it's only a 0.75,
So who has a calculator? So it's 0.0075 times 173,520. Okay. 173,520.
No.
175. I have a question. 13,000. About the. Oh, 13. Is that right? Oh, I'm way off. Mike, did you do it by a point? Wait, two. Shouldn't that be point? 0.00, not 0.0?
I can't think.
Right.
We're not worried about the elected officials doing reviews.
Right.
Yeah, 1,300 total for well that what and what that does is half of her.
Well, that includes half of her.
And the three of us.
And the three. Oh, okay. Sure. I forgot your half. That's what.
I'm here now.
I mean, all we can do is, you know, we can recommend it, but then it boils down, it comes down to the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
But,
yep.
Think,
so, we need a motion.
I'll make the motion. I make a motion that we increase the from the 2.25 to 3%.
Second. Do you want to leave it at 3% overall? Do you want it worded as a 2.25 with a 3/4% merit.
It's your motion. You want to modify that?
But then if we call it merit, then is that going to be make it a
difference? You call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's considered a bonus or not, but because a merit increase is added to your base. So I don't think it'd be considered a bonus. So
we can call it a merit.
This is a one-time.
One time.
Yeah.
Correct. Typically, a merit increase would be added to your base.
So yeah, you want that's fine.
Okay, so you want a 2.25 plus a 3/4%.
3/4% merit increase to make it 3%.
Okay. And we need a second for that if there's one.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to recommend a 2.25% cost of living, I guess for lack of better words, increase for the pay plan staff and environmental health plus a 3/4% merit increase. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay. And we'll make that recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. Okay. So now I think we have to finish up with the we had a motion to approve the budget, but we didn't get a second. So we've got a motion to approve the proposed budget for environmental health. Is there anything further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That carries. Okay. Next thing is election of officers for the calendar year. Next year, 2015. We do have two members whose term is up, but they have both graciously agreed to serve another three-year term, and they filled out and returned their applications. So I appreciate that.
You accept that?
Yeah. So we can do it now, or we can wait and do it in February. I mean, with two members gone, it's up to you. If whatever you guys want, I'm assuming.
I'll move the same slate as we had before.
Okay.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to keep the officers for the Board of Health the same as they were that year. That would mean I'm the chair and Dr. Passion would be the co-chair.
That's what happens when you're
that's what happens at the meeting. We could have changed it around. Anything further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Congratulations. Any staff comments?
Kristen and I were talking about, we were wondering if maybe Glenda needs a different meeting time or something to make it easier for her to attend.
We can ask her.
I did reach out to her and asked her, and she said it's just been a really busy fall, and she's involved in a work group that has a big project right now.
Oh, okay.
So she's hoping after the first of the year she will have better attendance.
Tuesdays is the day that works for Dr. Passion, though, because Tuesdays is his normal day off.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah, he didn't, when we changed from 4:30 to 2, he didn't care so much about the change, but he was concerned about us changing the day.
Okay.
So, any board comments? If not, I'd take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you.